2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good morning if you're on the West Coast, like my buddy Bear here. This is your NBA DFS Army Bold Calls podcast, and I am your host today. As always, Boomer's Daddy. Joining me is the one, the only guy. What's up, brother?
Hey, everyone. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. It's been an eventful morning already. As your screen just keeps going everywhere, but yeah, it's been a pretty eventful morning already, and man, we've got some stuff to look forward to today.
We do. What is happening to my screen?
You shrunk, and so I made you bigger.
Ah, must be that intermittent fasting that I'm doing.
Yeah, that's always a good thing.
So as I promised everyone today in our chat forum, today is the day of collect monies. That is what we are doing today. We are collecting monies. So get ready for it. Marcus Smart is now doubtful, not officially out. Uh-huh. Alrighty. Anything you want to talk about that happened yesterday before we started about today's slate?
No, not really. I kind of it was my mother-in-law's birthday. So oh, nice. I was the good son-in-law, and I made it to where that there was no interruptions during dinner. Other than that, it's just one of those things, like, you know, you kind of catch up on what happened over the weekend in the NBA. You know, you see that Bradley Beal went for like 5 zillion points in a double overtime game. You see that James Harden can't make a 3-point shot. And you kind of just go from there. So,
And it's crazy that he didn't make a 3-point shot and you still put up a bazillion fantasy points.
Yeah, it's... It's one of those things that I sit there and I look at and I'm like, how is this even physically possible? Yeah. And then I realize that it's nothing worth getting butt hurt over. Yeah. Because it's going to happen. You know, Mama said there'd be days like that, and shooters shoot and scorers score, and he's just going to keep going.
And it's not like they have many other options, although, you know, Austin Rivers did a lot of the scoring, more than he typically does, but Harden did everything else. I mean, assisting, rebounding, I mean, you name it. So it's going to be interesting today because we just saw that Capella is not going to be playing. We just got news that Marco Bellinelli is going to be out, so there's another shooting guard to take off the value list, but... yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of value plays, a lot of chalk today. So some of the good chalk, man, just stop getting cute and just play it.
Yeah, we'll talk about some of that chalk. There's almost a specific way that I'm probably going to start my lineups. I don't typically like days like today, mainly because it's leading to one certain type of roster construction and it kind of default takes away your creativity.
Indeed.
But just one of those things.
I mean, you know, you've got guys like Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier flying off of the charts for value. What else are you going to do? I mean, yeah, I mean, you know.
Let's start talking about some of this value, shall we?
Yeah, let's start with point guards.
Yeah, point guards. We're not even going to start at top plays of the day, you know, because Marcus Smart and Kyrie Irving are both out. And what that does is it pretty much makes Terry Rozier, if he's not 75% owned in tournaments, then there's something extremely wrong with today's DFS community.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think he will be, but you're right. Even 75%, like what were the other 25 thinking? I mean, he's under 5K, under four. He's 3,900 playing 34 minutes. I mean, he's priced as though Kyrie's in. And on top of it, he gets Brooklyn. I mean, there's no scenario where it's tough for me to understand how you wouldn't play him.
Yeah, I don't like usually playing a lot of chalk. I really don't like playing chalk point guards that are, you know, like backups and stuff like that. But Terry Rozier could start for a lot of, you know, teams in this league.
Yeah, he sure can.
Yeah, I'm not even fading this one. So, and it gives you a clear path to Anthony Davis and James Harden, who obviously will both be hot topics and hot commodities, and we'll talk about a lot of things. So, as Luce just kind of took the words out of our mouth, you know, if you fade Rozier tonight, you should probably quit DFS, and he's probably 100% right. So, it's just not smart to do that tonight. So, Damian Lillard. Okay, so here's the bad part about everything that's kind of opened up is originally I had a James Harden, De'Aaron Fox, Damian Lillard kind of stack. You know, I was going to fade AD, going to find some value elsewhere. I can't even do that now. Like, if I want both Lillard and De'Aaron Fox, I'm going to have to play them in different lineups. So, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things, like, it sucks, but it's the nature of the beast when we talk about the NBA.
It is. It's just the way it is. I mean, if you're able to play, you know, sub 4K guys that are going to play 30 minutes and they're not considered drop scorers, you can go out and get another drop scorer and go plug in Anthony Davis and Yusuf Nurkic or, you know, James Harden in your lineups. That's what you got to do. I mean, you and I are very similar in the fact that we don't like to, you know, play all the chalk all the time, but there are certain situations where you just don't. I mean, like this one, I don't. It's kind of the way it is right now. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to lose sight of, you know, some of the other games that I really love. You know, Pelicans Clippers being the biggest one. But yeah, I mean, that's, you know, kind of the way it's shaping up today.
Yeah, it's just kind of how it goes. So I'm not too excited about it, but, you know, it is what it is. I'm not going to get cute and get stupid over it. So. Yeah. I mean, it's just there's not a lot to break down as far as the point guard position. I mean, Shelvin Mack's going to get an uptick in minutes for the Memphis Grizzlies probably. You've got Patrick Beverley that's playing around 25 minutes a game, and you know he's got a good matchup tonight against the Pelicans. You've got, you know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but you got Brad Wanamaker, who's probably going to see close to around 20 minutes. And I don't think that he's an option, but we have to talk about him. I mean, he's min price. He's going to see 20 minutes. Terry Rozier can't play 48. And if you're going to give me a guy that's going to be on the court for close to around 22 to 25 minutes, then I at least, I have to have interest. Whether or not I play him is going to be a completely different story, but he has to at least be in my player pool as an option, you know?
Well, he can be in yours cause he's not going to be in mine.
I mean, you can't, what I'm saying is you can't discredit the fact. Like, Okay, probably now you can, considering of all the rest of the value that's opened up since this first Celtics value came into play.
Yeah.
But at that point, you know, he wasn't, he was in. He was, I was thinking about a pivot to go get a different type of roster construction away from Terry Rozier. I'm not going to lie. I did think, and then all this other value started coming out. And I'm like, oh my God.
I get how you think. Believe me, like, as you know, I think the same way, but I don't know if I can do it today.
I can't now.
Yeah, this is not going to work.
You know, it just, it you know, if Rozier was the only source of value, you know, that, and it was going to be the default, boom, everybody goes to, yeah, then, and there was nothing else, and I could get, you know, creative other spots, then yeah, but
right
now I can get creative with less risky options and just lock in my, you know, 30 to 40 fantasy points at, you know, my 8 to 10x. So it's just kind of one of those things. Anything, I mean, any interest in like some of these other guys, Brent Forbes? I don't really know where to kind of go. I mean, you can go high, low,
yeah,
with Damian Lillard in this last game. Kemba's got to break out of this shooting funk at some point. I don't know if tonight's the night against San Antonio.
Frankly, the only other place I want to go outside of Rozier and Mac is probably going to be Derek White, because I love targeting Kemba's defense.
That's not a bad spot.
So that's what I like, and he's still, you know, fairly cheap, and we know he's got 50-point upside. Outside of that, I mean, if I don't have enough of the late-game exposure, I might play some Gildas Alexander. Might. A lot of people are talking about, you know, Tony Parker versus the Spurs. I get it, but why would I pay $3,600 for Tony Parker when I can pay $3,600 for Sheldon Mack? And they'll probably double up his minutes. I get the narrative. Believe me, I get it. But
well, with Bellinelli out, that makes, in my opinion, Derek White a lot more viable.
Yeah, absolutely.
It also kind of, in my opinion, brings Bryn Forbes and Patty Mills both into the discussion a little bit more too.
Yeah.
So I haven't been able to actually run the numbers with Bellinelli out yet, because that happened literally as I pressed go live. So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's, you know, you've got Shelvin Mack. We'll talk about another guy that whole situation right there could be a little bit more fluid than the whole Terry Rozier thing, but could be a little bit more fluid than everything else, just because of the fact that they do have Justin Holiday, they do have Garrett Temple.
Mm-hmm.
They do still have Mike Conley there. So that's a little bit less of a lock to me. But it's still, you know, it's still a place where I'm going to be going.
Well, it allows you to get AD and Harden. I mean, that's what it boils down to. You know,
I think I can get AD and Harden without him, though.
You definitely can, but it allows you to have more decent plays around them versus, you know, $3,800 plays.
Right. That I will agree with 100%. So, I guess if you wanted to go high low, you could go with like a Damian or a Fox. They're not bad options. They're going to be lower owned now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. Anybody not named Mac or Rozier is probably not going to be chalk when it comes to. Guys that you can plug into your lineups on FanDuel or DraftKings for that matter.
Right.
So it's just kind of one of those things. Let's go on to shooting guards here, because there's a lot to unpack, because I've got some questions for you.
Okay.
Obviously, James Harden, 13-3 on FanDuel. He's 12-4 on DraftKings. I really do like him tonight. Obviously, you've got no Clint Capella. Eric Gordon's out. Obviously Chris Paul's out. Brendan Knight might be out. There's literally nobody. He's gonna take 17 three-point shots again, And
it's 1-on-5 tonight.
Yeah. When I got on and started seeing all this news, I pretty much just locked in Harden, locked in Davis, locked in Rozier, and I'll figure out the rest from there.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how I'm going about it as well. I mean, I think FanDuel specific, it's going to be interesting to see how many people decide to drop score the center position, which I'm very interested in kind of seeing how that progresses over the day. But I'm also very interested in the shooting guard spot, because the question becomes, does the Memphis defense stigma, slow pace, take away from Harden's ownership? That's what I want to know. I don't think it will so much, but I'm not sure that he'll be in the 60% at 13-3.
No, I don't think he will either.
So, because he was yesterday. On FanDuel, he was 64. And then on DK, I played a couple tournaments, he was 50 or 54 or whatever it was. But he was a little bit less, and he was playing Orlando, and it was four games. You know, we've got six games. We've got Anthony Davis. You know, I mean, he should still be above 40, but the question is how high. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that yet.
Well, we have recency bias that's going to take hold. I just looked it up. New Year's Eve, he played Memphis. Obviously, kind of the same situation. He played 41 minutes and put up an 82 on DK, 71.5 on FanDuel. Had 43 points, 10 rebounds, 13 assists. Shot 42% from the field. Now, on December 15th of last year, a couple weeks before, probably had Eric Gordon. I'm not quite sure, but still kind of the same situation. He put up a 62 on FanDuel. So Harden don't care about no pace. Mm-mm. So especially like when he's the reason why the pace is so slow. Well, exactly. One of the reasons. So
yeah, and they play at a significantly slower pace than they have last year. So it's not like it's a huge pace down spot for them.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about this Boston situation as far as shooting guards is concerned. And we'll throw in Gordon Hayward in this little mix as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can play Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward in the same lineup. I think a lot of people are going to. I think I'm going to shy away from that to try to stay different.
I've been saying that all day, all morning here. You got to pick one.
Yeah.
Don't play both. Pick one.
I think because I'll when alternate
Hayward them. Goes off, Brown doesn't. And when Brown goes off, Hayward doesn't. So that's just what it boils down to.
Yeah, so in the DS, I'll probably make a rule. Don't pair these two up. And it'll make it a little bit easier for me when I'm creating my lineups.
Yeah.
That way, you know, because one of these two are going to be able to kind of, I don't want to say go off, but they're going to be able to produce. And I don't think both of them are going to do it at the same time. I think it's going to be some combination of, you know, either Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier, or it's going to be Gordon Hayward, Jason Tatum, and Terry Rozier. I don't think that there's going to be a lot of, I don't think that, I think the odds of both Brown and Hayward going off are going to be very, very minimal.
Yeah, I'm not playing all three, so I'm with you there.
So, let's talk about Luce's boy today, Donovan Mitchell. Obviously, the point guard situation there in Utah is non-existent, to say the least. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, no, it definitely is, and we've seen it through the last couple of games. It's just he's been what we call the cheat code, you know, de facto point guard or shooting guard. He gets the assists, he gets the points, he gets rebounds, he gets all of them. So the upside there is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and then you've got, on top of that, you've got Royce O'Neal, who's finally priced back up. He's been going off over the last couple games. But it's Donovan Mitchell's world, and we're all just kind of living in it. And now with the clear path to Harden and Anthony Davis, I think Donovan Mitchell is going to be that guy that's going to be kind of forgotten.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can...
Not by me, but I agree.
I mean, I can sit there and, you know, play Rozier, Harden, Mitchell, and Davis, and I've got 42 per for the rest of my lineup. I can go get a couple drop scores and slap in Shelvin Mack and...
Uh-oh, he's slapping.
I mean, you got to do something, right?
Yeah.
So, any interest in, like, guys like C.J. McCollum, Drew Holiday, D'Angelo Russell? These are guys that are all priced kind of up there. It's just whether or not it's going to be... I mean, Austin Rivers is now below 5K. Garrett Temple's going to see 30-plus minutes. Avery Bradley's going to see close to 30 minutes at min price. Now that Marco Bellinelli's out, that's going to leave some Patty Mills open for discussion. I mean...
It will. That's, yeah, prior to the Bellinelli news, you know, I said to myself, you know, why would I play Patty Mills if I can play Shelvin Mack? But now that Bellinelli's out, that's another bump in minutes. So, yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, I'm with you there.
It's just, it's a very bland and basic roster construction today. It's, I don't want to say trying to get cute with some of these guys, but you have to make sure that you're not overthinking this one today. On a lot of aspects, like it's either because of where the chalk is, it's either going to be really, really high scoring with all these guys going off, or it's going to be really, really, really low scoring with none of these guys going off. So, it's just, DeMar DeRozan, he's got the best ADP matchup on the board. Again, no Marco Bellinelli, de facto point guard. A lot of these situations are pretty clear today. You know, he's going to get a lot of Jeremy Lamb, Nicholas Batum kind of defense. You've got Kyle Korver, maybe. We like to attack Detroit with guards. He could get hot and from the field. You've got Justin Holiday sitting there at $3,500 on FanDuel. I think he's a little bit cheaper on DK. That's going to get 20 plus minutes. He's 3,400 on DK. So it is. It's. We haven't even talked about guys like Malik Monk and Mon Shumpert. I mean, there's a lot in play right here today, guys. At the shooting guard position, this is going to be very, very, very vital that you use this and build up. Make sure you define your value. Use the sim model. Use the coach, the coaches that you want to define your value, and don't steer from it. So,
absolutely.
Let's talk about small forward here. I originally really, really liked Danilo Gallinari. I still do. I just don't know if I can fit him in now.
Yeah, no, it's tough to fit him in now, but I mean, I think you have to, right? I mean, you might have to sacrifice maybe at that center position, but, you know, there's, so I looked up his history, and it's not the greatest versus New Orleans. I do want to see, you know, for whatever reason, all day Mirotić has been projecting about 30 minutes. So I'm assuming that his minutes are increased now. He might go back into the starting lineup today. Nothing official, but, you know, kind of guessing there.
That would suck.
It would be difficult. Yeah, because that's another, you know, play to throw into the mix now.
I just said it was sucked due to ownership because I really like him and I really want him to come off the bench so he'll be a little bit lower owned.
Oh, well, you're not going to find that out until it's the last game. So you're not going to find it out after lock. So you're good there. But I also like him. I think he's in a good, really, really good spot and significantly cheaper than Gallo is. I mean, he's 6,100 FanDuel, probably less DK. I mean, that's a really good spot.
Yeah, it's. I think a lot of people are going to be kind of skittish on that one because of the fact that, you know, they're not sure. I love both the small forwards in this game, both Gallo and Miro.
Yeah.
Joe Ingles has my mind. Royce O'Neal has been very, very impressive over the last four or five games. And they finally got his price bumped back up at 49. Let's see what he is on DK here. He is 47 on DK. So DK did a good job today. Round off and hand claps to them, considering the fiasco of yesterday. Joe Harris, I have some interest in. Mm-hmm. It's obviously Gordon Hayward. Daniel House, with all these guys out for Houston, he's been playing pretty well.
Yes, and he's going to have to shoot a little bit more now.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of options here, guys. It's just, you know, Gerald Green, you could probably go to. I would probably go to Daniel House more. He just seems like he's less streaky, I guess.
I can. So here's somebody else we should talk about.
Go ahead.
There's a guy in Houston named Gary Clark.
I was thinking about him.
Yeah, and I've got some interest there.
Yeah, that might be a way to get different today.
Yeah. Yeah. He's stretch. You know, they're gonna need him to shoot. He can certainly do that. In fact, it's one of the things he does best is shoot. He actually played yesterday in the first half. You know, nothing major, but a decent amount.
Yeah, he played 10 minutes in the first half, just didn't get a lot of shots up. Got two rebounds, and that was pretty much it. But played 19 minutes against Cleveland. James Enos is another guy. He's playing 15 to 20 minutes a game. If you look at some of these other guys, we're going to talk about power forwards here in a little bit, which is going to create a situation with these guys. There's a lot of cheap options on Houston today. And it's one of those things like, you know, where do you want to go? And we'll be able to kind of break that down for you a little bit later when we were able to run some more of the numbers and kind of see exactly how that might go. It's okay. So, do you think the whole Justin Jackson, Nemanja Bjelica, Marvin Bagley, Harry Giles, Bogdanovich, that whole grouping right there, right? There's those 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Yep. If we sit here and we look at this, we've got some very interesting options. I've got Marvin Bagley for about 27 minutes. I've got Bjelica for about 22. Harry Giles for 17. Amon Shumpert can play some of the three. He's 22. He's sitting at 22 minutes. Like, guys, this is their rotation. Okay. It's these eight guys. And I think in this game versus Portland, call me crazy, but I there's not a guy from the Kings in that eight-man rotation that I don't have a little bit of interest in.
It's a fantastic game, and it's going to be a much lower owned game, considering it's the second highest total on the board in a 2.5 point spread. I mean, you should certainly look there for sure. There's a lot to love there.
Yeah, I mean, So out of those five, let's just take Bogdanović out of it because we know he's a vital part of the rotation, getting over 30 minutes a game. We've got Bagley that's back in. So out of these three, Bielitsa, Giles, Shumpert, are you really going Harry Giles over Shumpert or Bielitsa?
Probably not. I mean, it's a little vague because roster construction, you know, leads you to that potentially. I really like Evan Turner today at small forward. I'm looking at, I mentioned Gary Clark. I'll have some interest there. I got Gallo and Nico. I like that. I like O'Neal. Probably not going to play with Hayward because I'm going to look more at Jaylen Brown. But you mentioned House. It's actually not. Some of it is, yes. But it's more specific to position. Like, so I'm going to be playing two higher dollar tournaments today. And one of them is going to be Rozier and Jaylen, and the other one is going to be Rozier and Hayward. As we talked about, I don't play all three. I'm flip-flopping them. And so for the ones where it's Jaylen, there's no reason for me to play Gordon Hayward.
Right.
So I really like Evan Turner. And I believe Mo Harkless is still out. And so versus Sac, it's going to be a small game outside of Nurkic and Willie Cauley-Stein. They kind of cancel each other out, so to speak, in terms of on-court rotation, right? But outside of that, it's going to be, you just said it, right? You've got Fox, you've got Buddy, you've got Shumpert, you've got Bogdanović. Those are four smalls that are ball handlers. Portland, they're going to need those ball handlers too. They're going to need those smaller guys who can run on the wing versus, you know, going big themselves. And so I think Turner leads the second unit. I think Turner ends up closing the game as well.
Okay. Sounds like a plan. Let's talk about power forwards here. Obviously, we don't need to talk to you about how good Anthony Davis is.
or how bad Clippers are at defending bigs.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about LaMarcus Aldridge.
LaMarcus.
Yeah. I'm a little conflicted, and I'll tell you why. I see LaMarcus Aldridge sitting here at 8,600, and then I see Jason Tatum at 6, and I see Tobias Harris at 76. I see Montrezl Harrell at 78, which I think this is more of a Montrezl Harrell game. Mm-hmm. I see Al-Farouq Aminu at 55. I see JJ at 65. Bagley at 57. LMA and Blake are very, very hard for me to pay for right now.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
The only way I'm paying LMA is if I'm crazy enough not to play Anthony Davis. Because the matchup is fantastic, and I think Aldridge has the potential to match Davis points per dollar, not even par score, but you know, points per dollar. He can match him. Like if you're getting, you know, 5x from AD, which is great at 12.7. You can get 6x from Aldridge at 8.6, and you're happy as hell. But the ceilings are just not the same.
Right.
So, but if that extra 4K, excuse
me. Bless you.
Thank you. If that extra 4K allows you to play Montrez versus, you know, Giles, I mean, that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
So the math there is AD 70, Giles 20 versus Aldridge 55 and Montrezl Harrell 45. The math, you know, you just got to do the math.
Yeah, and it's not hard to sit there and think of, you know, a situation where, you know, somebody like Tobias or Montrez can actually outscore AD, or not AD, I'm sorry, LMA. It's not like he's been the model for consistency.
Right.
And now he's kind of jacked up after the double overtime game against Oklahoma City. He kind of sat there and then had the, as me and you kind of predicted, the letdown game, you know, with the home and home series.
Mm-hmm. Chalk bust.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to think of a situation where I won't have a little bit of exposure, but I'm worried about not really necessarily the spacing or even the usage or anything like that. I'm worried about the interest here. Like, is this going to be a DeMar DeRozan type of game where he kind of takes over and all these guards, you know, have success out on the wing, and LMA sitting there with his mid-range jumper going, meh?
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but we've seen them both hit their ceilings together.
Oh, I'm not saying that they can't. I'm just saying, like, that's a lot to pay for.
Sure.
In this type of environment, in this game, on this slate.
Yeah.
I think if I'm leaning towards one of these studs on the Spurs, it's going to be DeRozan. But it's hard for me to pay or play either of them, considering the fact that I've got all this value on the Spurs that I can play, and I want to play Donovan Mitchell, and I want to play Montrezl Harrell, and I want to play Tobias Harris. It's not that I don't think that he's a bad play. I just like other plays so much more that he's almost becoming the forgotten guy at that price tag for me.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Yeah.
So, Jason Tatum, if I give you Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier from the Celtics, do you like that?
I'm okay with that.
Okay. Now, if I throw in Daniel Tice and take out Jason Tatum for some lower owned value,
uh-huh,
to get off of you know, some of this other chalk that we're going to talk about here in just a second at this position, because I think that Tice, everybody's going to kind of go to Marcus Morris, who's I still don't know how he's not 6K on FanDuel. Like, they haven't missed a lot of guys. They missed this one, in my opinion. Marcus Morris and Daniel Tice, I actually like better than Jason Tatum, just due to price and trying to get off of the, we sure have to get off the chalk somewhere.
I mean,
at least a little bit, you know, can't win a tournament with nothing but 40 to 60% owned guys.
Yeah. You definitely have to find, that balance. I agree. And we've seen before, you can do, you know, let's say if you roster 9 guys, you can play 6-7, you know, relatively chalk, and then differentiate the other 3. It's going to get you enough of a difference to win. So,
I mean, I'm looking at a day today where I, you know, in my 20 lineups on DraftKings, my core right now, I kid you not, my core is five deep. And I'm going to have to make some rules where I don't have a couple of these guys, you know, paired up with each other. But yeah, my core, man, is five deep just because of all the value that's opened up. And this is before I've even adjusted to the Marco Bellinelli news, which is probably going to throw in Patty Mills or Bryn Forbes or Derek White into that conversation as well.
Yeah. The more and more we, you know, kind of look at stuff, the more I am liking White as well. So, I mean, I think that's where you can differentiate with so many people going Rozier, Mack, or Rozier, Mills, or, you know, whatever. I'm with you there. I think that's where I'll be going.
Yeah. I mean, he's a guy that he got off to a slow start because he was hurt. You know, he was going to get the vast majority of the run with DeJounte Murray out for the season. And then he got hurt right before the start of the season. He's now good to go, and he's priced accordingly. And I don't think that a lot of people are going to, they're going to look at that price on Derek White and say, ew, and just kind of skim over him and go to like a Patty Mills or a Bryn Forbes. And I don't think that that's something that I'm willing to do. Patty Mills has been moved to a point guard on FanDuel now. I thought he was always at shooting guard.
He's been for a little bit, yeah.
Okay. Shows you how long it's been since I played Patty Mills.
So we differ there. I've played him a couple times, but yeah, I definitely am playing tonight.
Yep.
Another interesting tidbit, not that I'm gonna play him here, but Ish Smith is now probable. That'll be good for Detroit.
Yeah. It'll allow a little bit more spacing on the floor. I don't think he's playable, but you know, it does add a different type of dimension to that offense to where they can get the ball out of Blake's hands a little bit more. You know, and it might allow for one of these guards to actually work better off the ball with a true point guard rather than a point forward. So not that Blake is limited in what he can do. It's just a different look. So okay, so we know that Clint Capela is out. We have some interesting options in Houston for value. PJ Tucker is not value, in my opinion, at 5,200 on FanDuel. But Isaiah Hartenstein is going to get the recall from the G League today. Marquise Chris is already there. Marquise Chris is right now slated for 20 minutes. And I think Hartenstein's going to be slated for right around that 20-minute mark as well once I get everything updated. I don't know, man. I've got a little bit of interest in Marquise Chris as a drop score candidate on FanDuel. I don't think he's going to come anywhere near my lineups on DraftKings. But on FanDuel, where he can't hurt me, he can only help me. Unless, of course, he just barely outsqueaks my other drop score. I've got interest, man. Am I crazy?
No. The only thing I think you're crazy about is not wanting to play him on DK. Because I like him on DK, too. I think he's going to probably see a majority of...
Over Gary Clark?
No, not over Gary Clark, but Gary Clark doesn't have the size they need. I mean, they're playing Memphis. They're going to need actual size, guys that can actually rebound, you know, guys that can go potentially block some shots and box out. Gary Clark isn't that dude. He's a stretch who can shoot, which is great, but you got to have some size. And it's not going to be Tucker for, you know, 48 minutes. So I do like Chris a lot. I think Chris can do those things, and he can also shoot the three. So I think it's a better scenario for the coach. When I look at, okay, personnel, when I look at opponent, when I look at matchups, D'Antoni wants everybody in there that can shoot the three outside of Capella. Literally everybody else but Capella on that rotation shoots the three ball. And now, you know, with Capella out, Chris can also shoot the three ball. Plus, again, we know he can rebound. We know he can block shots. We know he can play down low. I don't think Gary Clark fits that description. So you got to have one of the bangers in there to replace Capella.
Okay. I'm trying not to let my biases of Marquese Chris get to me, because I remember a lot of...
That's what you're doing. It's exactly what you're doing.
And, like, I'm sitting here, and I know it's a different situation, but I'm sitting here looking at his shot attempts. You know, yesterday versus Orlando, he played 11 minutes and didn't shoot the ball at all. Not once. He got to the free throw line a couple times. Yeah. You know, if he can get me around those seven rebounds and he can shoot the ball close to 8 to 10 times and maybe make a three or two, then yeah, I don't mind it. I guess I've got to keep him in. I mean, you kind of, I don't want to say talked me into it, but you opened my eyes to the different situation and concerning that. So, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. I think is underpriced in this matchup because of the fact, like you said, they don't have a lot of bodies down low. Guys, the one thing I would be scared about outside of what I just kind of mentioned with Marquese Chris is the fact that, you know, he's one of those guys over the last couple of years that he likes to play with his hands. As far as defense is concerned. So he would get into foul trouble every once in a while. So let's move on to centers here. Rudy Gobert versus Detroit. I've never, ever, ever shy about attacking Andre Drummond, especially with guys like Rudy Gobert. He's at home. It's just whether or not you can pay for him.
Yeah.
That's always going to be the question here. Jusuf Nurkić against Sacramento. Love it. Julius Randle. With Mirotić back, I think he's a little bit overpriced on FanDuel. He's a lot more tolerable, I think, on DK, where he's 74. I don't know how much exposure I'm going to have there, though.
What's the concern? The price?
Yeah, it's more the price, and is the ceiling and profit potential really there with Mirotić, with Etuan Moore, with Anthony Davis, with Jrue Holiday? Like, sure. He's got to have a great rebounding game, which he absolutely can. I mean, it is the Clippers. I love a lot of pieces of this game. I think he's the one that might get left out, though.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, same here. I don't think I'll make it in my lineups, but I could see it as part of a game stack, maybe, because between those two teams, there isn't really a center that you can play. With AD and Montrez and Tobias all being power forwards. But even then, I think I would rather pay down a little bit less and play Marc Gasol. Without Capella. I would rather play Cauley-Stein for less. Heck, I'd even rather play Al Horford.
Is he getting close to 30?
They lifted it between 28 to 30 now. Yeah.
Okay.
That's really what attracts me to that. It's, you've got, let's call it 30 minutes. Let's say 29, in between the 28 and 30.
Right.
Although it'll be a little bit more now with some of the guys out there. But versus the team that we play centers against all the time.
See, that's why I had interest in Daniel Theis. But if Horford's getting close to 30 now, maybe a little bit more. I know they're shorthanded, but that's going to take away from Tice a little bit more.
Yeah, it will. Absolutely.
What about Jared Allen?
You know, I thought about it. I looked at it. I don't know if I can do it. Just because his minutes have been down like significant lately. He used to hit that 28-30 mark. He doesn't hit that anymore, which is obviously cause for concern. And it's not like he's been in foul trouble. He hasn't. I mean, some games, yeah, but that's not the root cause. It's not the foul trouble. And so I need to kind of either go up to Horford or one of the other guys that we like, or way down. You know, look at like guys like Biombo or Gasol, or just punt the position. You know, you can even go Robert Williams if you wanted to. He's been giving them a really good boost off the bench for the Celtics. So, I mean, yeah.
Nene, Hilario, are you a Nene truther?
No.
Okay. Yeah, I'm probably not going to be playing any Nene. I'm going to let people kind of chase out a little bit. He's going to play anything from 18 to 22 minutes, and if he pushes the 22 to 25 minute mark, he's not going to play for a week. Now, depending on exactly what the severity of Clint Capella's injury is, that could, you know, be good. But I'm probably not going to go there against Marc Gasol.
Yeah, just, makes sense.
I just don't want to. I'm trying to find ways to get guys like Nurkic and Gasol and Cauley-Stein in my lineups. I don't know how successful I'm going to be yet with the value around it and how comfortable I am, but that's what the main goal is to get those guys in.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You're going to have to wait and see. And I think there's probably going to be some more news coming up, and there's going to be some starting lineups announced. And for some of these guys that are out, I think Rozier 100% is starting. It's not even a question. And more than likely, Jaylen Brown should be starting for Marcus Smart because she's a shooting guard, and Gordon Hayward isn't, although he can certainly play the guard. But I think Brad Stevens is going to want to keep Hayward with that second unit.
Does that make you like Hayward a little bit more, being with the second unit, staying with the second unit?
It kind of was where I was on the whole time. Like I didn't expect it to be anything different, right? But having said that, I don't believe that. So it doesn't change anything for me, because like I said, that was kind of my how I was approaching it from the beginning. So but having said that, it all it does is it kind of solidifies my not playing Jaylen and Hayward together, because what's going to end up happening is if Hayward comes in, starts going off like he did last time Kyrie missed, Jaylen might even just kind of ride the bench a little bit longer. Or if he comes in, he's just going to be there to kind of play defense, which doesn't help us very much. So,
nope.
So, pick one, guys. Don't. If you're playing tournaments, play one of each. You know, one with Hayward, and one with Brown, and just move on. I really don't think playing both together. You're going to see a lot of people play them together.
Yes, you are.
It's a mistake.
Yeah, that's one way where you can get a little bit different. There is not, you know, having these two guys paired up together. And I honestly think that, you know, you could probably get away with, I don't want to say this, so I'm probably going to eat my words. I think you could honestly get away with not playing Hayward and Jason Tatum together.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's,
I'm only picking two.
Yeah.
And Rozier is always going to be one of the two.
I don't mind throwing in Marcus Morris as the third.
I was going to say, it's not going to be Marcus Morris. It's probably going to be, for me, Al Horford, but Morris also works.
Right.
I mean, they do different things.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need Al Horford to sit there jacking up threes, right? You need him to get rebounds, to block shots, to score in the post. And he can also hit a couple threes, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, they do very different things.
Yeah, exactly. So if you're going to play three of them in a lineup, it needs to be like, you know, Rozier, Brown, and Morris, or Horford. You know, it doesn't need to be Tatum, Brown, and Rozier.
Right.
So.
Right.
Anything else before we get out? It was kind of cut and dry today. Not a lot to really go over with all this, with the NBA pretty much telling us who we should roster today.
I think today is one of those very classic don't overthink it kind of things. I think, you know, like what I'll be doing is certain large field tournaments where maybe I'll have 10 or 15 lineups/entries into it. I might get a little cute and go off the chalk in a lineup or two. But it's really kind of one of those just in case kind of things. But even in those, Rozier's in them. Like, there's no scenario I'm not playing Terry Rozier. And listen, some people might look at that and say, yeah, well, so is everybody else. That's fine. It's fine. Because what you're doing is you're taking those, let's say he's 60%. You're taking that 40% and you're hurdling that 40%. Because there are going to be people out there, oh, I'm not going to play him, he's chalk. Cool. Keith and I are both very much don't like to play chalk guys. It's very much what we do. But that doesn't mean that we don't play any chalk. A guy who's starting for most any other team at 3,900, who's now starting for the Celtics, going up against Brooklyn, is the epitome of good chalk. Now, could things happen and he gets into foul trouble, he hurts an ankle, Wanamaker, whatever the hell his name is, comes in and lights it up, and Brad Stevens decides to roll with him and not give as many minutes to Rozier? Yeah, things can happen. But it doesn't mean that I'm not taking that risk. On FanDuel specifically, he needs to drop score. So what? Right? If he puts up 20, let's say, he's still well over 5X. And, you know, if your other players are going off, then he's a drop. So for me, don't overthink getting off of every single piece of chalk. I don't think it's wise to do that, because chances are, Rozier is going to hit at least 10X. I mean, that's kind of the baseline that I'm looking at him. And if you're fading 10X just to be different, then, might want to try something else.
Yeah. I mean, like we talked about a couple times already, that's not the place to get different. That's a place where you're just going to take it and go. So, I can get different in a lot of other spots and still have a 65% Terry Rozier. This isn't baseball where I automatically, once a guy hits 35%, you know, he becomes an auto fade. This is basketball where you could fade Terry Rozier, he goes for 10X, and you're done. Unless, like, a Shelvin Mack goes for 10X, or unless two other value point guards go for 10X as well, and you have them paired up. If you don't have Terry Rozier and he goes off tonight, you're done.
Yeah.
So, I would rather take that and move on rather than try to get cute and figure out the rest, so. Alrighty, man. That's going to do it for us today. For Bear, for myself, for the DFS Army, we gone.